This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Let's see. So I will call the meeting to order. Hey, you'll take roll call through the regular screenshots or whatever. Just to remind everybody who is joining us, who is not a member, we're so happy to have you here. Thank you for dropping in on us. I will give during debates and discussions priority to EA members, but if we have time, I will try to give an opening for members of the community to speak. So that's generally how we've been doing it this year. But again, thank you for joining us, and we're going to go ahead and get started here. First of all, can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting? I think, Brian, did you just – you're muted, by the way. But Brian and Hey-Hey, seconded by Hey-Hey. Any objections, abstentions?
Good job, Wendy.
Absolutely. All right, seeing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. So we're going to go into the business of the day. Real quick, I want to mention a few things. We had a really good discussion and a really good debate last time. I just want to mention to keep things as easy for me to recognize all of you in order as possible. Please use the raise your hand function if you want to be on the speakers list. I found it difficult to try to read through comments and recognize people as they like physically raise their hand in the video. So if you can do that, unless you're calling in, then just let me know that you'd like to be on the speakers list. The only other thing I want to mention is as we get into debate, normally we don't take motions to end debates, but since last time we had a lot of people who wanted to speak, I will ask for motions to actually end the debate before we move on to a vote on the question at hand. That is just an added level of making sure that the majority of people are okay with voting if there are still people on the speakers list who want to talk. Just again, a little bit of Robert's Rules minutiae to make sure that everybody gets a fair and equal chance with debates today. So with that, I believe EAR3 is what we're going to start with. So David, go ahead. The floor is yours. Please present your resolution.
Hi. How is everybody doing today? I hope they're all doing well. So as most of you probably remember, a couple of months ago, we were Zoom bombed very abruptly and unfortunately. So after Hey had sent out a communication saying that she had also filed a biased report and, you know, what steps we could take as a group to try to, you know, make it known that we don't support that kind of behavior. And, you know, one of the suggestions is to create sort of a statement, which then turned into more of a resolution to help make it known that we really were very upset that that had happened, you know, things that we're doing to keep from that happening again. So the resolution that I've drafted is basically just a steps of what occurred on that day. And then I'm going to share my screen so that, I've been disabled to share my screen. Can somebody allow me to do that?
You should be all set now, David.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Can everybody see the resolution on the screen?
Looks good, David.
So as you can see, and I'll just increase. Okay, that's too big. So the whereas statements indicate what had happened. And then the be it therefore resolved are acknowledging the pain that it caused for a lot of our members and also people that had joined the meeting. What steps were taken to stop those actions from happening in the future? And then, you know, just, you know, what we support as an organization going forward. Like, we support our the university core values. We encourage people to report any biases that they've seen either on campus or even off campus. This doesn't have to be just necessarily things that they've witnessed in the workplace. It could be, I think it could be anything that they see outside that is within the perimeter of the Cornell campus. So I encourage you to report any biases. And then, you know, it's just the final statement that we encourage everyone to be involved in the shared governance process, regardless of, you know, race, ethnicity, nationality, sexual orientation, and so forth. And that's basically the meat of the resolution. I'm happy to ask any questions. If anybody needs time to read it, if they haven't, I'm happy to, you know, to give people time to read it.
David, do you mind unsharing your screen? And then I'm going to ask if, just in case anybody doesn't have it handy, Wendy, do you mind putting a link to the resolution in the chat? Just so we all have a handy copy. So just give me 1 second here.
I have never had to unshare my screen.
I don't know if I can take it off or not. Wendy, can you, there we go. Perfect. Sorry. It's just easier for me to see, people who want to speak if the screen's unshared, which is why I wanted to, you all get a link of it in the chat. First of all, hey, do you have anything to add since you're also a co-sponsor as well as myself before sure. We get into the debate?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank David for all of his hard work. I think it goes without saying the Zoom bomb was a bit of a shock to my system, and I really appreciate, you know, David coming together, other individuals emailing me separately, and I think that this resolution, you know, addresses what had happened, but it also acknowledges, you know, where we stand as the employee assembly, that we do condemn this kind of behavior. And I appreciate that this is kind of the messaging that we're providing, and we're going to move upwards, hopefully assuming it passes, you know, to the president, so that it is on record and it is a statement that we are making in regards to this kind of behavior. So I endorse it, and I'm happy to kind of discuss it further. But again, thank you, David, for working on this.
Yes, I second that. Thank you, David. And the only other thing that I will add as a co-sponsor is that I appreciate the mentioning of shared or open participation and shared governance. One of the things that disappointed and disturbed me so much is that we as a body make a very great effort to make these meetings as open and as engaged with the community as possible. And for that to be taken advantage of by outside actors or disrupted is very disappointing. So I think this is a great statement. Again, thank you, David, for all your work on it. And I will now open the floor up for debate. And Jessica, I think I saw, did you have your hand up or are you good? Okay, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this forward, Dave. The only thing I see is we'll have to go through and do some typo stuff, but the whereas is different fonts, different sizes. 13 and 9 are definitely different, so we'll have to tighten that up a little bit, but that's all I saw right off the point. Thank you for doing this.
unless anybody objects, we can take typos and font changes and stuff as technical changes that we can just do after the fact, unless somebody has an objection to that. Carrie, go ahead.
Hey, everyone. I'd like to just also say thank you to David, and I'm really 100% in support of this. I just wanted to offer a couple of, I don't know if these would be considered minor technical things or not, so I'll just mention it right here. At line, I guess the lines 26 through 28, I just wanted to suggest, or what I wondered whether we want to say caused or cause on line 27, because we're referencing the Zoom chat bombing at that point. So I think you could go either way with that. But aside from that, I thought it would read a little bit better if after cause, comma, you put an and there. So the EA acknowledges the emotional pain and strongly condemns hate crimes. At that point, I don't think you need the comma after hate crimes and any other forms of racism, religious or ethnic bias, and so forth. So I just wanted to propose that, and otherwise, I think it's great.
Unless David objects, those sound pretty technical to me, or unless anybody objects. David, do you have any problem with that?
I don't have any problems with that.
Carrie, do you mind sending him that after the fact? Awesome. Yeah, those sound very technical to me. So thanks, Carrie. Appreciate it. Andrea, go ahead.
Yeah, I put this in the chat. I was wondering whether or not in that final, be it resolved, be it finally resolved, whether or not, because it looks like we've got some folks represented, and I wonder if disability could be another component of anti-bias.
Yeah, I think that's a really good inclusion. I don't have any problem with adding that. I think that's really good. And I apologize for my
It's something that that isn't always included, but we're trying to, and all of our focus on inclusion and making sure that diversity is disability is represented in diversity. So if we could just add that, that would be great. Thank you.
Sounds like David has no objection. Unless anybody else has an objection to that, we'll just consider that also a technical inclusion. So, yep, that's a great point, Andrew. Thank you. Anyone else seeking recognition? And if not, we can entertain a motion. Or if folks want, we can table it for a week and do it next meeting. But motions or seeking recognition? Karen, go ahead.
I'd like to have a motion to suspend debate and a motion to vote.
Okay. Brian, are you seeking recognition to speak or are you seconding?
Seconding.
All right. Since there were no other people on the speakers list, I don't think we have to vote on the motion to end debate unless somebody has an objection. We'll consider that under unanimous consent. So we are voting on approval of the resolution. All those in favor, please hit the green yes button. Opposed, no. And abstentions, use the raise your hand function.
I just want to quickly add, this is only for voting EA members who are able to vote on this. So if you're just a participant, not an EA member, don't click on the yes button. Thank you.
Yeah, we use the participant log to keep our records in these Zoom meetings. So this, all voting is for EA members only, and that'll help us kind of keep it straight a little bit. Have all voted who wish? Looks like all members have. Laura? I don't see your vote up there. All right, we'll have to. All right, well, regardless of the members voting present, it is approved unanimously. So congratulations, David. Thank you so much for all of your efforts. We appreciate it. And I will get this on to the president's office right after this meeting. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on, we're going to let's see. Wendy, do you mind clearing off the votes? And we will get into EA Resolution 2 as amended by the task force. Jessica, go ahead.
Everyone. So first off, I want to start by thanking the EA members who joined the task force and the elections committee to address the concerns that were raised last time we looked at this resolution. I really appreciate that everyone came together collaboratively to strengthen the resolution. And we really feel like this best represents Cornell staff in the best possible way under the current structure. And it also gives the EA some flexibility, but within a manageable size. So I am really proud of what we're presenting you with today. And some of it is just cleaned up formatting, which I'm not going to go into. But the big changes are, we clarified how the shift from the School of Hotel Administration seat to a Cornell S.C. Johnson College of Business seat affects the current law graduate and Johnson School seat. So that's been clarified in the resolution. We added an additional seat for eCornell in the School of Continuing Ed, which meant that we had to decrease the proposed at-large seats to 2. And the big thing was we really worked intensely on the proposed changes to the university relations seat. So in the end, what you have is for consideration is a university relations and central administration seat. Central administration includes the office staff of the offices of the president, the provost, board of trustees, council, JA, and ombudsman. So, and I really want to point out here that any staff not clearly represented by an EAC are represented by the 2 at-large seats, and they can even run for those seats during elections if this resolution is approved and accepted. That's the plan. So those are the big changes from the last time you saw it. That's the document you have in front of you, and I hope you like it.
Well, thank you so much for you and the work groups, all your efforts on it, and thank everybody. I want to thank everybody else. We had a really good debate last time, and it made it obviously, we came back with a lot of good information and made this a better resolution, and that's why we do this. So I'm really excited to see this new version, and the floor is now open for debate, comments, questions, or motions. Once again, just try to use the raise your hand function so I can keep everything straight, and it's harder to read the chat and things like that. So, Kate, go ahead.
Unmute. So I just wanted to echo Jessica's comments, but with particular credit given to the committee for how graciously they were willing to continue working on this. And as one of the people who prolonged our debate and pushed for tabling it, I wanted to say that I'm totally satisfied and supportive of all the changes. So just thought I'd give my hand raise, and if I could get back there, I'd give a thumbs up. So I think it strengthens the representation of the employee assembly.
Thanks, Kate. Yep. Karen, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to echo what Jessica said, and Kate. I think this is what shared governance is all about, and I really appreciated the committee's hard work on the resolution and the healthy debate that we had at our last meeting, and then for allowing us to join the task force to sort of address some of the issues that some folks had. So I greatly appreciate the opportunity to help strengthen the resolution, and I'd like to have a motion to suspend debate and vote.
Okay, there is one person on the speaker's list, so this is just a motion to end debate, not voting on the resolution. So all those in favor of ending, well, actually, first of all, we need a second. Brian, are you seconding? the motion and debate. All right. So this is just a motion to end debate. Please indicate yes, no, or abstain with a hand up. Jackie, Kate. Okay. I don't have a count, but it is definitely a clear majority who have voted to end debate. So now we will go into, I will entertain motions to approve, table, or continue debate, essentially. Somebody like to move for passage? Kate, go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the to approve it.
Awesome. Seconded by Karen. All right.
Yes, second.
Okay, go ahead with your votes. Yes, no, hand up for abstain. The voting is open. Okay. Again, I didn't count everybody individually, but this is clearly passed. So congratulations, Jessica. Congratulations to the task force, the work group, I mean. You all did an amazing job, and I'm really proud of the debate we had and the way that this has moved through the process. So thank you all. This was an excellent task during a difficult time. So
Can I say thank you to Adam? Or
please, go ahead.
Thanks. First, I want to thank the whole EA for trusting the task force. This was important work, and we really, everyone was engaged and thoughtful as we went through it. So the task force was Jamie Duong, Ashley Miller, Brian Goodell, Andrea Hanlon-Mott, and our two staff members who are here today, Jay White and Meredith Collins, and they volunteered even more of their time than I originally asked for, which is great. The elections committee, thanks to them too for looking at it in several different forms. And then I lastly want to thank Carrie Sanzone, Kate Supran, Michelle Leparco, and Ellen Miller for helping us enhance it, as you just heard. Thanks, everyone. This is great. I'm very happy.
That's excellent. Good job, everybody. Thank you so much, Jessica. And as it happens, we're just going to turn it right back over to you because we're going to move on to the elections update. As anybody knows or see my emails knows that I'm like a kid in a candy store wanting to see the results of that. So, Jessica, without further ado, go ahead, present the elections update.
Well, that's true. I could have just talked over myself. Okay, elections update. Campaigning is underway. I'm probably halfway through. There are 19 seats up for election, just to remind you all, and 18 of them have candidates. There's a mix of contested and uncontested seats, so that's pretty exciting. Voting takes place next week, Monday through Wednesday, and we will be announcing the results on Friday. I want to thank Gina and Wendy for their huge support through this. I know we're not done, but I just want to say thank you. They've been managing so many emails and often responding to things before I get to them. So that is hugely appreciated. We couldn't do it without them.
So I have to, and we'll, if anybody has any questions, we can open the floor for questions on the elections. I got to add my two cents and say, especially for those of you who haven't been through an election cycle, so to speak, these are incredibly great numbers for the EA. A large number of candidates, a good number of competitive seats, only one seat that I believe that's right, Jessica, only one seat that doesn't have a candidate. I'm thrilled. I'm on cloud nine to see this type of engagement, and that is reflective of how active and engaged and all of your leadership throughout this year, throughout this pandemic, and even before that, though, honestly. You all have done such an incredible job this year, and the interest is a reflection of that. And I don't think that, I mean, I don't have the history, but I would challenge how many times that we have had such a positive high profile throughout campus as a group that does so many great things for our community. So thank you all. Thank you, Jessica. Again, Wendy, Gina, thank you so much. And now we'll open it up to questions. So Ellen, go ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering, what is the process for the seat that does not have any candidates? Can we promote that to people that we know would fit that seat, or does that happen sometime after the election is concluded? We'll try to fill the seat.
Yeah, that'll be one of the registration's already closed, so we can't try to get anyone to fill it right now. But it will end up being an incidental vacancy, and it might possibly be filled after the fact, but that would be up to the next elections committee, I'm assuming, because that's how it worked last year when we started our elections committee. We filled a bunch of seats through incidental vacancy.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Gina, if you're on, my understanding is any seat that did not have an eligible candidate, if there were candidates who did not get elected for other seats in the competitive seats, if they are eligible for that seat, they can fill that one, I thought, immediately. But I don't know, Gina.
Yeah, no, I'm on. I think as Jessica just described it, that's at the discretion of the elections committee. And there was, I think that all of the candidates who are running for the seats that they have identified. So I think it would be up to the discretion of the elections committee at this point to change any of that. It certainly wouldn't be waiting until the outcome and then filling seats. But I don't know if the elections committee is considering any of the changes that you're talking about. I mean, those the seats that how we got to the at-large seat kerfuffle is doing it was trying to accommodate people who didn't get elected or whose seats were in contention and there were open seats otherwise. So I think a big effort of the elections committee in the resolution that was just passed was to try to be really specific about who can run for which seat.
Good. Sounds good. Brian?
Yeah, I just wanted to echo what you said earlier about this group of people that came together and made things happen. I've never seen an employee assembly work so hard in the summer in my whole life. So my hat's off to each and every one of you. You guys are amazing, and you guys just kept going forward and helped make this campus a little bit more calmer during this unprecedented time. So thank you, everyone.
I just want to say very quickly, I like data, and so I just want to share this with you guys. In the 2016 staff survey, the question was asked, the employee assembly represents my interest, and staff members were tasked with answering, I strongly agree, disagree, and so the amount of people that agreed or strongly agreed that the employee assembly represented their interest in 2016 was 28%. I think that if you were to resurvey people, you're going to find that amount increase, as we've seen through participation, we've seen through our staff conversations, through our staff forums. I think that that people are getting the sense that we really are working very hard to address the issues and to represent staff members. So I just want to throw that information out there because I'm very proud of the employee assembly and everything that we've done and all the hard work that has gone into all of the things that we've worked to achieve this year. So that's it for me.
Thanks, Hey. Anyone else? Questions? Comments? I guess I have one question, Jessica. Will everything be published on the website somewhere, or how? I don't know how does that process work?
The candidates are up, and I shared the link in the chat, and the election will be when the election starts happening. That will be announced, and the results will be announced too. So I think we have everything covered. We're looking at a Cornell Chronicle article.
Great.
At some point in the process there, but.
That's awesome. Yep. Thank you. I missed the link. I'm sorry.
The only thing I
have a role to add to this comes after the elections and the new members are seated at our meeting, and the first Wednesday of September is when we'll have a transition, a seating of the new members, and a leadership election, because we'll need to do that in very short order. But we'll get details out to everybody about that very shortly. So, any other questions, comments, or otherwise? If not, we can move on. So, I will, as we've done before, entertain any committee reports that any chair chooses to give, and then we have plenty of time also for open discussion after that. Any committee chairs? I guess, Jessica, you kind of gave yours. So, anyone else who would like to provide any type of an update? If not, we can move right into open discussion. Carrie?
Hey, so I'll just chime in for communications. We've been sort of quiet this summer, but yet somehow managing to support various operations. So we had a newsletter go out last week. We'll probably do one more before the changing of the guard, so to speak. And we'll be doing some posts, social posts, and working with the Chronicle and also university relations for the faculty and staff newsletter to promote the candidates and the elections. I just want to give a little shout out to Ellen, who's been connecting our committee with the CRC, the Recreation, is it a club? Recreation Connection? Anyway, we'll call it the CRC. But she's been really holding things together, and I'll say we're doing Pictionary tomorrow, if anybody's interested. Let's see, virtual Pictionary, that is. And hopefully supporting some of the other CRC events that are percolating. Brian is working on a virtual talent show, and so hope to see more of that, and we'll include all of that as we are able to. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Carrie. Any questions for Carrie? Any other committee chairs? If not, we can go into open discussion, but I would like to turn it over to Ellen first. Ellen, you had a couple items you wanted to bring up.
I did. So coming out of the Recreation Connection meetings that we've been having recently of how to engage people, one thing that we also were talking about was trying to plan like a parade maybe for the retirees that are all leaving us, but the logistics of that just doesn't seem possible. So I just wanted to bring up to you guys that maybe we can do something at the EA. So all of the employees who are taking the early retirement incentive for, helping to benefit the university during COVID and the finances, their last day of work is September 15th. So I was wondering, a couple ideas that I had that came out of the Recreation Connection Committee are maybe a postering campaign event like we did for essential employees at the beginning of the pandemic, where we can hold up, signs and do photos thanking the retirees for their long-term commitment to the university. And another is maybe writing a formal employee assembly resolution, also thanking the retirees for their commitment to the university and their, sacrifice and thank you for what they've done and what they're doing. And that's it.
Ashley, do you have a question or comment?
No, not yet. Sorry. I didn't even know I hit it.
No worries.
Well, Ashley, I think you can probably elaborate on that a little more because you were working on this behind the scenes with HR and the CRC and at least for like the parade and whatever. And I don't know, were there any other ideas or things that came up?
The only other idea that sort of, I think the CRC had kind of decided on doing this kind of campaign like we did for essential workers, like Ellen said. The only other option we discussed was possibly doing like a video, but that would have required somebody who has video skills who'd be willing to volunteer their time. because the person who does videos in HR in the communications team doesn't have the flexibility to do it right now. So I think the CRC had kind of decided on doing this campaign like we did for essential workers instead. It would be the easiest way to do it.
Anyone else? Thoughts? Carrie, go ahead.
Yeah, if you guys are interested, I could schedule a communications committee meeting next week, making sure not to overlap with the CRC, because I almost always do that accidentally. And we could just talk about, that. I have a retirement resolution that I did a couple of years ago for someone in our division, and it was individual, but maybe could be repurposed. And so I'd be happy to help with that. We can also use my Spark account to do whatever graphics might come in. So I don't know if you think it's worth getting together, Ellen and Marcy and Jackie, if you guys are available. Ashley, if you want to join us, that would be great. I can put something on the calendar. I think it's a very worthwhile idea.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else on this or any other topic? We're into open discussion. Ashley, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. On the topic of BRI celebrations, for those of you who don't know, my role in HR is I'm one of the program managers for campus-wide recognition. And this is sort of on the hush-hush, but I'm telling the EA and anyone else who's in this meeting, on a campus-wide level, we're planning on creating a kudo board for the VRIs who were approved for the incentive. And we are going to open it up to campus just for general messaging to say thank you. And that's basically coming from a campus-wide perspective. But we did want to start filling up the board with a test group first, so at least there's some messages when we open it up to the rest of campus. And I was curious if the EA wanted to be that test group, since we all represent so many areas of campus. I thought maybe the EA could be the first employees to post on the kudo board before we open it up to the rest of campus so that we can sort of get it going. So I just wanted to know if the EA would be interested in that. The link won't be available probably for like another week. But I did just want to pose it as something that the EA can kind of kick off when we're ready to release it to the rest of campus.
Jackie gives it a thumbs up. I think also you can send it around to the listserv, the EA member listserv. That might be a good idea as well. Anyone else on this or anything else? So again, I want to bring up that, you know, we're getting into the end of not the term, but with the elections, the transition period for all of or for the members, either transitioning into officially this new term or transitioning into another role. I want to bring up that if you're interested in a leadership role, that is also obviously coming up at our next meeting. I would recommend that anybody who is interested in one of those roles, please reach out to the folks who currently fill those roles. Take a look at our bylaws, you know, scan the requirements. I think personally that considering how amazing this group is and has been this year, it's one of the most, one of the greatest roles I've ever taken on, honestly. And I encourage you all, since this is such a great group of leaders, to consider stepping up and trying something new, trying out a leadership role. So that goes, obviously, that will go for all of our members elect as well, following the election. But it's just some information to consider. We'll have the details. The details of the leadership election are spelled out in our bylaws, but since we're in a kind of a strange transition time, usually it's a separate meeting. I'm going to work out some details with Gina, but it'll probably be some sort of a hybrid meeting where we seat the newly elected members and then hold the leadership election, and then that will be that seamless transition, so to speak. But we'll be taking a look. Does anybody have any questions on that? It's a majority ballot. So I believe it's a closed meeting. We'll transition into a closed meeting according to our bylaws for the elections, for the leadership elections. But yeah, and feel free to talk to me offline if anybody has any of those questions as well. So anything else? If not, we can entertain a motion to adjourn. Brian?
Yep, I move to adjourn.
Right, I think Kit Tenenbaum had her hand up.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Kit, please go ahead. I'm sorry I missed you.
That's okay. No worries. I just put it up. Something that I'm noticing and want to comment on. So I slowly but surely transitioned into involvement with the EA through Benefits and Policy Committee, and then with everything happening with the budget, proposed budget cuts, I started coming to the EA meetings, and now I personally consider this part of my, routine, so to speak. So I do enjoy that, and that's why I'm running for a seat. I guess something that I'm noticing, and of course, it sounds like I don't know the history, but I do see the robust list of candidates that we have, or that the Employee Assembly has running. I'm almost wondering, and granted my experience in attending the full EA meetings is limited, is there a requirement of for candidates to attend a certain amount of meetings or something of that nature so that they, you know, that there is some level of involvement prior to running for a seat?
I'll let you answer that.
There's no requirement. Anyone who meets the qualifications to be a candidate can run. They don't have to have been attending Employee Assembly meetings. No.
Yeah. There aren't any requirements like that in the bylaws. I will say if you join our ranks, you know we can always have proposals and things like that in the future. So. Those are always ideas worth bringing up at a later time.
Yeah, definitely.
And thank you for joining us these last few meetings. For all of you who are of our non-members who have been tuning in, thank you. We love having people from the community join us. Anyone else? And if not, Brian, you made a motion. Do we have a second for adjourning?
Seconded
by Hey Hey. Seeing no objections, we'll just call that unanimous consent and adjourn. Thanks, everybody, and we will see you at our next and final meeting for this group. So take care.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.